Lina was outside at the backyard pump, pulling the handle up and pushing it down, up and down, up and down, making water spurt out to fill the pot and getting splattered by rain the whole time. She felt furiously impatient. In Ember, you turned on a faucet and hot water came right out. If she'd been in Ember now, she'd have had this pot filled in a minute, and she wouldn't be getting wet and cold and... At that instant, the whole sky lit up, sudden and brilliant. She staggered backward and cried out, but a terrible roar drowned her voice. Leaving the water pot behind, she fled into the house, and as she crossed the main room, the door burst open and Dr. Hester lurched in, coat flying, scarves whipping around, water streaming from her hair. "What's happening?" Lina cried. "Is the sky splitting apart?" The doctor slammed the door behind her, but not before a gust of wind shot in and blew out the fire in the fireplace, leaving the room in darkness. Again the light flashed outside, and again came a deafening bang. Poppy screamed, and Lina ran to pick her up. "Hester!" Mrs. Murdo called from the other room. "Please come, we need you!" Another flash of light whitened the windows, followed by a roar. "Thunderstorm," said the doctor, struggling out of her soaked coat. "Will it hurt us?" Lina asked, holding tight to Poppy, who was wailing. "It will if the lightning hits you," the doctor said. "Lightning sets things on fire." She tossed her coat on a chair and hurried off. Fire from the sky. Lina shuddered. In Ember, the sky never let loose water or ice or stabs of fire. It never made a noise. It was always dark and still and quiet. In Ember, the weather of every day was the same. The doctor and Mrs. Murdo worked over Loris Harrow's hand for nearly an hour. Dune, Lina, and Torin grew weary from holding the candles to light the operation. Finally, Dr. Hester sighed and stood up. "I think we've got all the splinters out," she said. "I just can't see well enough to tell for sure. We'll watch you for signs of infection." Dune's father smiled faintly. He hadn't cried out as his hand was being probed, but his face was gray. "I know you did the best you could," he said. "You and Dune must stay here tonight," said Mrs. Murdo. "You can't go out in that storm." "Thank you," said Dune's father. "We're grateful. And I almost forgot to mention, a roamer is coming into town tomorrow. We may be able to replenish our supplies."
"Maybe," said the doctor, "if we can find anything to trade with."
She made up a bed for Dune's father on the couch. Dune slept on the window seat with an old quilt wrapped around him. Upstairs, Poppy climbed into Lina's bed, too afraid to sleep by herself, and Lina lay listening to the pounding rain and thinking about the city that had been, until just 9 months ago, her home. The city of Ember had been dying. Its food supplies were running out, its buildings were old and crumbling, and worst of all, its electricity was failing. Without electricity, the city would plunge into complete and lasting darkness, because it was under the ground where no sun shone. The people of Ember hadn't known that, though. Ember had been their entire world. But as gloomy as Ember had been, it was the place Lina was used to. She missed the job she'd had there, running fast through the streets as a messenger, seeing different places and different people every day. She missed the comfortable apartments where she and Poppy had lived, first with their grandmother, and then, after their grandmother died, with Mrs. Murdo. Ember was a dark place, it was true, but in the daytime, huge lamps lit the streets, and at night, at least until 9 o'clock, when the city's electricity was switched off, the houses were cozy and bright inside. You flicked a switch and the lights shone, bright enough to read by or draw or play a game of checkers. You didn't have to deal with candle drips or drafts that blew out the flames. You didn't have to constantly feed a fire with wood. "In winter," Dr. Hester had said to her one recent evening when Lina wanted to draw but they couldn't spare a candle, "we live half our lives in darkness." More than half, Lina had thought. The days were short in winter. Clouds often covered the sun, and the darkness followed you into the house and lurked in the corners and up near the ceiling, everywhere the glow of candles and hearth fires didn't reach. Lina knew it didn't make sense to miss Ember, and yet Ember's dangers were at least familiar. Here they were new and strange. You could be frozen in a snowstorm, blistered by poison oak, attacked by bandits, She'd never seen these, but someone had told her about them. Bitten by snakes or eaten by wild animals. Now there was lightning to add to the list. Why are there so many hard and dangerous things in the world? Lina once asked Dr. Hester, but the doctor only shrugged. It gives us useful work, she said. There are always going to be people who need help. But on a night like this, with the sky flaming and roaring and the rain battering down, Lina didn't want to think about useful work. She pulled Poppy close against her. Somewhere far away, she heard a high, eerie howl. Was it the wind? Was it a wanderer lost in the storm? She tugged the covers up over her ears. She felt surrounded by a darkness that was different from the darkness of Ember, but just as frightening.